Okay, it's time now to turn to the Word of God. I'll ask you, if you wish, to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading with verse 17 to the end of the chapter. We will only be looking at the last couple of verses. But for context, reading with Ephesians 2, verse 17, hear the word of the Lord. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Since the reading of God's holy word, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, may the meditations of our hearts, the words of my mouth, be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. From you comes the word, O Lord, and it will not come back void. Grant, O Lord, it will accomplish its holy purpose to strengthen us in our most holy faith together. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we are working on the second part of verse 21 and then verse 22. So you get 1.5 verses this evening. And that is where it's actually a pretty good divide, because previously we have been looking at this wonderful section of Ephesians 2, marveling at what Paul says here about Christ and his church and the spectacular blessings that he has lavished upon us, in particularly how we have access to the Father. Notice in verse 18, for through him we both, Jew and Gentile, have access in one Spirit to the Father. This is a marvelous promise to us. We have access to God the Father in the Spirit. This is, if you recall the call to worship, this is not what they enjoyed. You don't really have access to God in the same way in the Old Testament, just for the people of God. They had to keep their distance. And the priest drew near, but the people of God couldn't. Well, that has changed in Christ Jesus. He has brought us near. We who are far off, who were Gentiles and separated from God without hope in the world, he has brought us near in Christ Jesus. And he has given us access together through the Holy Spirit into God's very presence. So we're dealing with this, and the last part we looked at the last time we met 2 weeks ago, verse 20 and the first part of verse 21, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together. That is where we left off. And it's interesting, you have Paul there talking about a generic building with this structure based on a foundation. And I mentioned to you that the foundation of the biggest and most important building in Ephesus, remember you're reading a letter directed to the Ephesians, people who live in Ephesus, and the biggest and most important building was the Temple of Artemis of Ephesus, also known as Diana. That's the Roman name of the same goddess, Artemis of Ephesus, and this called the Artemisium. It's the Temple of Artemis. And it was bigger than a football field. And it was one of the seven wonders of the world. It was one of the largest buildings in the ancient world, that most people say it was the largest building in the ancient world. And the foundation is not separate, you know, concrete poured things like we often have, but it was a solid marble blocks laid down that were fit together. and that foundation couldn't be moved. It was a solid, large marble structure in itself. And then you have a cornerstone in that. And then on top of that, you build the building. This is what is striking to Paul in contrast to that pagan temple. No matter how impressive it is, Christ Jesus is building something far more impressive, far larger, far more permanent than those people even imagined. Because when I was looking into the Artemisium, this great big temple, it was in a swamp with one column. That was all that's left from that big, huge, enormous building. I think they've actually put together parts of it since then, if you were to go to Ephesus and visit it. But it was quite striking when I was looking into it. It is still a swamp area. This is kind of good. And by the way, don't build in a swamp. It's not going to last. Christ did not build in a swamp. He's the cornerstone, and it is permanent. Well, this is a very interesting passage now in verse 21. This being joined together, then look at what he says in the second part of verse 21. This building, this structure, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. It's a growing building. Now, Paul is dealing with Ephesians, as you know, and he had lived there, and he knew what Ephesus was like. And about 20 years before he visited there, they'd had a massive earthquake. As you may know, Turkey is still, Ephesus is part of Turkey now, they're still subject to massive earthquakes. And without powered equipment like we enjoy, it took these people a long time to rebuild from that. They have these huge marble, these stone structures, and they, when they're thrown down, it took a long time through hard work to put these things back together. So Paul was there at Ephesus when they're still part of a rebuilding project. And they actually, a number of other reasons, they didn't have a lot of money at that time. But here, Paul contrasts, they're trying to scramble to rebuild their city, but the building, this impressive building that we're a part of, that God has laid the foundation for with Christ, is growing. It grows. I want you to think about that, kids. You've got stones that grow. Imagine that when you're thinking about this building. The building itself is growing sort of like a big tree, as it were, but it's a stone building. And that's the image he gives us here. And it's because the building is composed of people. Now listen to what Paul says in another place, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Notice how he just mixes all these metaphors together. You are this field, it is growing, but you're also a building, and it's growing. So he's fond of this image of this building, which is growing. Here, interestingly, in verse 21 of Ephesians 2, it's growing together into a holy temple. This is not an ordinary building. This is a building now, he's talked generically, but it's a building growing into a holy temple, something special. Now, here's what buildings were like. I mentioned to you the Temple of Artemis, and they're pretty much all the same in the ancient world. So if you describe one, you pretty much describe the architecture of the others. They're just smaller or different size. But the temples that he's talking about, they have this outer shell. And that's what you see. So you see pictures of Athens and you see the temple there, the Parthenon, you're really looking at the outer shell of it. So it's a very ornate building all around, and you have all these columns. But if you were to go in there, there's basically a closed building inside of that. It's a box, and it might be open, but they would have doors. Might be open now, but they would have doors on it. And inside, you would have the statue of the deity. So interesting, if you were to take our Elder Oliver's class, you would know that the tabernacle had a similar kind of structure, as it were. You have this structure, and then there's a Holy of Holies separated from it, and that's where God dwells. He dwells on the mercy seat, that's his seat, mercy seat, on this throne room, as it were, the Ark of the Covenant. This is where God is seated in the tabernacle, and then of course the Jerusalem temple in Paul's day. But you should remember, a tabernacle and a temple are the same thing, as it were. The temple is just a stone tabernacle. It's just made with different materials, but its architecture is the same. So you have this special room where God himself dwells. And that's the Holy of Holies. That's this special place. So this is not foreign to the people of Ephesus. So in the original, there are several words, but there are particularly two words for temple. There's this generic word for the whole big outer building with all the columns. That's not what the word that Paul uses. He uses the word that's particular to that smaller building where the deity dwells. That's the word he uses. You are growing into that place. It's as if he were to say, you, in the Lord, are growing into a Holy of Holies. That's the equivalent of what he's saying. It's the place where God himself dwells. And so you're getting a sense of the fact that this is now a sacred building, and it's most sacred. And it's sacred because you have been consecrated through the blood of Christ, that you may approach God. This is why we as Protestants believe in the priesthood of all believers. You've been consecrated with the most important aspect of holding a priesthood, that you may approach God, you may draw near to him. This is repeated time and again in the Old Testament of the priests, about you yourself are invited to draw near to God, and marvel of marvel, he's made you the structure where he is pleased to dwell. You have drawn near because he's building you into the place where he himself promises to dwell. That's what the church is. And you're not just one stone in isolation. You're not just individual stones scattered around in a field. You're being built together into this building which is fastened together. This is what the church is. And in the church, you need a lot of different people with a lot of different gifts, with a lot of different callings, and none of them is less than any other. You all have important roles to play in the church. He's building you together into a body of Christ, a building growing together into a holy, consecrated place, that you may be here, even in the world, as a place where people can come and they can meet God among you. That's what you are, that's your calling. You have the highest calling of any human can ever have, to be a place where God dwells as a light to the world. This is our calling. And this building is growing, and it's still growing. Here we are in Corvallis, Oregon, of all places, if you think about it, at the time of Christ, who knew about Corvallis, Oregon? Well, it wasn't a city back then. Who knew about the Willamette Valley 2,000 years ago? Anywhere. I mean, maybe a few Native Americans wandering around, but not very many other people, you know, a few hundred. Now here we are. We're part of the building that Christ has built, and he's still building his church worldwide. This is why we pray for our missionaries. This is why we pray for the gospel to be extended not only to our neighbors, but to others in other parts of the world, because we are not alone. We're part of this greater building together of people, and we're joined with people from throughout the world who confess Christ. This is our great heritage. This is who we are in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 22, in him you also are being built together. He wants to make sure the Ephesians know this. You also, you're part of this building. You're being built together as a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. You know, David wanted to build this stone tabernacle. He wanted to build a temple. Because he felt like God being in a tent structure, which is subject to wind and dissolution, you know, all the difficulties of maintaining a fabric and hide kind of structure in that climate, very, very hot, very windy. He wanted a stone building. This was at his heart, and he longed for that. Well, he didn't get to build that building. His son Solomon did. But there is a builder of a building who actually turns out to be the son of David, and it's Christ Jesus. Listen to this from Hebrews chapter 3. I want you to hear this in light of what's being said in Ephesians. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also is faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a servant to testify to the things that are to be spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. We are the household of God, a dwelling place for God himself that he has built in Christ Jesus. He has laid this foundation. Notice what is being said here, brothers and sisters. And it comes up again in Ephesians chapter 4. Being careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's already there. The unity we have in the Spirit is already ours in Christ Jesus, and we preserve it. We are careful to hold fast to our confession. We are careful in hope and confidence amidst all the raging tide around us, all the wind and all the storms that we face as a church. We hold fast to what Christ is doing in our midst, confidently that we are growing together, because he provides the growth. We rely upon him, even in the face of all the stuff we face together as a church of Christ, confident that he is doing a good work in our midst, because he's the builder of this house, not me, not your elders, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We are merely his assistants, and you also assist in the growth of this building. And then finally, the last word in verse 22, in the Spirit. In light of what we talked about this morning, you know, the fact that Christ was casting out demons in the Spirit, I don't want you to lose the radical sense of this. Here the Ephesians are. They were not in Jerusalem. They're in Ephesus. And they're being built into this temple in Ephesus where the Spirit will take up his residence as he visibly took up his residence in the tabernacle in days of old. So now, in the Spirit, God is building up this dwelling place so that he will dwell in our midst in the Spirit, the powerful working of the Spirit of God, in whom we have sanctification, consecration with access to him, and new creation glory. Listen to this from Exodus 29. It's talking about the sacrifice of the lamb morning and evening. Exodus 29. It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. There I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, Aaron also and his sons, and I will consecrate them to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. The glory of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. That's the Shekinah glory. Through the Holy Spirit, they were sanctified. And now Ezekiel 37. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will set them in their land and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. He's talking about you. He's using the terms of Israel because that's the way the prophets speak. The prophets speak of the future in the terminology of the institutions of their day so that the people in their day would understand what they're talking about. But the reality, as it's fulfilled, is far vaster than they understood. This is actually, I can demonstrate this from the New Testament. That's what the New Testament says of the old. And so this sanctuary, it turns out, which is forevermore, it's not temporary. It's a sanctuary forevermore where God promises to dwell with his people. They will be my people. That sound familiar from Ephesians 2? Those who are not his people, now he has brought us near to be his people, fellow citizens with the saints in light. You are the people of God now that Ezekiel is talking about. The dividing wall has been torn down by Christ. That dividing wall separating the nations from the most holy place has been torn down, that we might be built together into a glorious temple of the Lord. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians. For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:16, talking to the church. The same terms that Ezekiel said. You are the sanctuary of the living God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, cleansed, consecrated, you are now appointed as priests before the Lord, that you may bring holy sacrifices of praise to him in your lives and in your sacrifice for him. So stay the course, brothers and sisters. Be careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and rejoice in the Lord that we have a foundation stone and he is building his church even here. We long for him to build and increase our ministry here. So let us keep praying to that end, confident that our strength is in the Lord, not in our prayers or in our weak ministries, but in the Lord, that he is building a good, solid building, and it will grow to his glory, where the presence of God will be even here in this place. Let us pray. We long, O Lord, to see your churches full. We long to see us grow as a church to serve you more effectively in our area. We long to see many come to realize the error of their ways and their folly in following after the world and being deceived in all the things that men chase after in this world. We pray, O Lord, that you would turn them again, that you would turn many to yourself, that we might be used to that end, and our church might be full, that we may serve you with gladness here, not for our glory, O Lord, not for us, but for your glory, for you are building a church which grows to your glory and your habitation. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.